Okay, so this morning we'll be talking about laziness. If you've had a chance to sit and look at the notes, you kind of know where I'm going. I've already had somebody kind of chide me about it this morning a little bit. But do you guys think Americans are hard workers? Oh, I got a mixed bag.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a large country.
It's a large country. I'm from the Midwest originally, so those in the Midwest, we're hard workers. Californians, I'm not so sure, but I'm just kidding. It's interesting. There's actually a study every year done by an international business trade organization that I don't know that hardworking is the way you would couch it, but what they do is every year they do an average of all member nations of this organization of how many hours, the average hours that people work in their jobs a year. And so I found that online. I thought it was interesting. It turns out that the U.S. doesn't even make the top 10 of this list. Now, to get, before I go into the numbers, to give you a rough idea, if you take 365.25 divided by 7 times 40. Sorry. Anyway, you end up with 287 hours in a work year. Is kind of the way it works out. So there's 287 hours in a work year. You would 2087. You would think it'd be 52 times 40, right? But there's actually because it's not. It's 365.25. It actually averages out to 287. Anyway. It's too early for math, and it's amazing that I even know that because I usually don't do math in public. So, and as a to give you a gauge here, a federal employee, right, who has greater than 15 years of service, just 15, who gets all the holidays and uses up every hour of vacation that he gets a year, works 1,775 hours a year. That's without overtime and taking all your vacation. Okay, so that's just to give you a kind of a rough gauge of where this is. So the United States, the average work time in the United States is 778 hours. So I'm right on par with everybody else. I know you're struggling right now with the numbers. So I got an engineer in the class who just he. Anyway, the top 10, you'll note there, were laid out there in the notes there for us. South Korea is number one, 2,193 hours a year. 2,193. There's a, online, going with this article, there was a story of this guy. He gets up at 4 a.m., commutes 2 hours, works till 7 at night, gets home at 9, takes a shower, goes to bed, gets up and does the same thing. 6 days a week. 6 days a week. Okay. Now, what this doesn't account for is, are those actually productive work hours, right? Right. I know when we lived in Japan, the folks in Japan, they worked long hours, but there was a lot of time where those hours were not necessarily productive hours, right? And so there's that kind of thing. It turns out, just to calm everybody, the U.S. is actually still number one in terms of productivity, right? Yes, at least that's what these articles said. Whether they're, you know, you can make, a statistician can make the numbers mean anything, right? So take it for what it's worth. But anyway, so if you look at this, so South Korea, 2,193, does that mean that South Koreans are not lazy and everyone else is? Right, that'd be the question. I don't think so, but we'll talk about that as we continue on through our study. So a question for us, is the number of hours one works in a day, week, month, year a good indication of laziness? No. It's adamant. No. Okay, well, today we're going to look at laziness. So Webster says laziness is not liking to work hard or to be active, not having much activity, moving slowly, disinclined to activity or exertion. I love that word, disinclined. Or not energetic or vigorous. It's used often in conjunction with physical labor, a job, schoolwork, for those of us with kids, etc. People think when we work hard, we're not lazy, and when we do not work hard, we are lazy. Right? I mean, that's what people think, right? I mean, that's what I think most of the time. Actually, through this study, I was able to kind of coalesce some thinking on that that changed the way I think a little bit on it. But that's what we usually think, right? You work long hours, right? You don't take breaks. You're exhausted at the end of the day. You are a hard worker. That's what we think. I think through our study today, we'll think a little bit differently about laziness when we're done. Okay? And maybe this is how we each define laziness. But I think where we should go is probably the scriptures, right? Does that make sense? So go ahead, and if you want, I'd see your notes there, but if you want to turn over to Proverbs 24. There's all kinds of passages in the Proverbs that talk about laziness, right? The sluggard. It's a great word too, isn't it? Not one we use in everyday usage, everyday English very much, do we? Yes? Okay, so Proverbs 24, 30-34. So it says, I pass by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles, its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. So let's think through this section here real quick, and let's look at what the sluggard is described as doing. Okay, I think that's an important thing. I think this is really instructive. So I think the first thing we see is that laziness is seen in the neglect of responsibilities. There's responsibilities that the farmer has that he has neglected. He's neglected. So we looked at the field, right? It's completely overgrown with thistles. Those are thorns. Its surface is covered with nettles. That's a kind of weed. Its stone wall of protection is broken down. There's responsibilities that the farmer has that he hasn't accomplished. He has a responsibility to clear the land, prepare the soil, plant the vineyard, and keep the protecting wall maintained. So you have to clear the land, you have to plow it under, you have to make furrows, you have to plant it, you have to make sure the wall's in place so that animals or people walking through don't destroy your crops. That's not the case here. There's responsibilities that this farmer has that he hasn't accomplished. And each of these things has a time frame that they have to be accomplished in. You have to plant when it's time. You have to prepare the soil when it's time to prepare. You have to plant when it's time. The wall has to be in place for when you've prepared the soil so that your work doesn't get ruined. I mean, there's a time frame for when these things have to occur. So in this case, this man hasn't done that, and he's called a sluggard. He's called lazy. So the lazy person here does not do what is required in a timely manner. They neglect their responsibilities. They neglect their responsibilities. He may be working hard. He may be putting in long hours. He may be doing all kinds of things. We don't know. But he has responsibilities that he hasn't accomplished. Now, I doubt if he's working long hours because of the next phrase, right? But he has certainly neglected responsibilities. The next phrase, the next verse, verse 33, says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So the second thing I think we see here is that laziness is seen in procrastination. Laziness is seen in procrastination. These responsibilities are put off until a little later, right? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. When does later come? Tomorrow. And tomorrow, when does later come? The next day, right? Yeah. There was a quote as I was looking through some things that said, tomorrow is the favorite day of the week for the lazy person. And everything can go up, be pushed off to tomorrow. The problem is that later never comes and responsibilities get neglected. So two things we've seen is that laziness is seen in neglect of responsibilities, and laziness is seen in procrastination. Finally, in this section, we see that laziness is seen in surprise loss and want. There are consequences for neglecting our responsibility. If you choose not to execute your responsibilities in your job, what happens? Fired. Or demoted, or can't get a job, or I mean, there's, you know, from the most case, right? If you, anyway, we'll continue talking on that subject. But so anyway, there's surprise, loss, and want. We see that with a robber and an armed man coming in surprise. Why? Because the slugger thinks they're okay, right? They're surprised when things don't work. So when we think of this description of the lazy person, the sluggard, neglect of responsibilities, procrastination, I mean, does that kind of inform our thinking a little bit? You know, we think hard work, right? We think long hours. We think few hours, not hard work. That would be a lazy person. But when we think about it, it's neglect of responsibilities and procrastination are descriptors of a lazy person. There's two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated lazy. The first one means afraid to act, hesitating, shrinking, or lazy. And it's used three times. And this word is the same word that the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses for slugger, for the word for slugger. There's three verses. The three verses I have laid out there for us: Romans 12:11, lagging behind in diligence. That phrase "lagging behind" is the translation for lazy. Matthew 25, Jesus in the parable: "You wicked, lazy slave." Lazy is the word there used. And in Philippians 3:1, Paul says, "Fellow my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me." It's not lazy for me to do that. So there's the three uses of that word. And the other word is argos, and it's a compound word meaning without work or doing nothing. It describes something inoperative or unserviceable. It's translated seven times in the New Testament as careless, idle, lazy, or useless. And so we see that a lot with the word idle. Not fulfilling your responsibilities, doing nothing to fulfill your responsibilities, being idle, right? And useless, that phrase. So, to the description of laziness, we have neglect and procrastination from Proverbs. We also add the idea of idle, not moving toward accomplishing our responsibilities, useless, or lagging behind in diligence. So the question I have for us is, does this describe you? Forget the normal idea we have about laziness, right? Of working hard, not working hard, not working long hours. Do we not fulfill our responsibilities? Is there areas in our life where we are not fulfilling our responsibilities? That is the description of a lazy person, of a sluggard. My question, what areas do you neglect? In what areas do you neglect your responsibilities? And we'll give an opportunity to give some examples later on. But think about that. So what's the kind of the heart of the issue here? Suppose me and another person each have a contract to make 100 widgets in a day at a certain quality. A widget is just some sort of, it's always a widget, right? Some sort of thing, right? A widget. I get mine done in 4 hours at the acceptable quality level, but it takes the other person 8 hours to do theirs. Because I'm stupendous. It's just an example, really. It'd take me 12, but that's... If I go surfing for the remaining 4, am I lazy? Chris? Yes, and we'll talk about that later on. We'll talk about that concept later on too. But just if we just talk about this little piece, right? It's not. We both have the same responsibility, right? And we've accomplished it. If I do it faster, that doesn't mean that I'm a harder worker. I just happen to finish mine faster, and that's my responsibility in this case. I'm not lazy if I choose to go do something else. I've accomplished my responsibility. We'll look over many passages in the Scripture that either directly or indirectly state that laziness is a sin. Right? I mean, we can't get away from that, right? Laziness is a sin. The problem is that at some point, working hard and laziness are relative quantities, right? I mean, one person may have a more physically demanding job than another, right? I can't imagine at the end of a day, my brother-in-law was in cement work. I can't imagine me, right, after 25 years of engineering work, my first day on the job as a cement worker, I won't be able to move, right? I mean, it's just the way it's a hard working job, right? Other people work longer hours than others. Maybe some people are involved in more ministry than others. Some people commute a longer distance than others. Due to long work hours, some people sleep more hours than other people. Some appear to have more time to play than others. Some work a part-time job instead of a full-time job. But is one really more or less lazy than the other? I don't necessarily think so. The problem is that we can work hard and be very busy and still be lazy because we neglect our responsibilities. We neglect or procrastinate our responsibility. Since laziness, as we've seen, is a neglect of responsibilities, a better way to evaluate ourselves is, am I faithful? Am I faithful? Because believers are described as being faithful or faithless, unfaithful. See that from Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself, from 2 Timothy. Faithfulness is defined as trustworthiness, loyalty, reliability, adherence, consistency, dependability. And a synonym is fidelity, which means strict, careful, continuing, and exact observance of a duty or performance of an obligation. Okay? So, what we're talking about here is being faithful. Not whether or not I work long hours or get a little bit of sleep, but whether I am faithful to the responsibilities God has given. So what are some responsibilities that a believer might neglect? What are some of those responsibilities? Okay. Dennis, could you go see, make sure? Thanks. So, what are some responsibilities that a believer might neglect? We're all to work heartily to the Lord, right? Colossians 3 tells us that. Are we faithful? Husbands and wives have responsibilities in marriage. Am I faithful to execute those responsibilities? Fathers have responsibility to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Am I faithful? All of us have a responsibility to study the Scriptures. Are we faithful? All believers have a responsibility to use our spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ. Are we faithful? All believers have a responsibility to make disciples. Are we faithful? What are some other things that we might have responsibilities for? I might have hit a lot of them there, but any other thoughts? Yeah, we have a responsibility to be good stewards of all that God has given us, from relationships to finances. Right? There's a gamut there. Excellent. Okay, we're responsible to have God-ordained priorities in our life. Okay.
serving others above ourselves.
Yeah, sacrificial service. We're responsible for that. Anyone else? Okay. There's all kinds of things we're responsible for, right? Do we neglect our responsibilities? Neglect our responsibilities. That's the question. So, laziness, really the issue for us when we think of laziness is faithfulness. Are we faithful to execute the responsibilities that we have? Are we faithful to do what God has put before us? So if we find ourselves neglecting or procrastinating our responsibilities, then we're being lazy or unfaithful. So what should we do? What should we do, right? We don't want to stay there, hopefully, right? So what are we going to do? Let's look at, we've talked about this in the past, but the pattern for God honoring change we see in Ephesians 4, right? Ephesians 4 laid out there in your section. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Christ. Truth is in Jesus. Then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So there's a pattern, right? We've talked about that in the past. And Casey taught on that many weeks ago. We're going to lay aside the old self. We're going to put off sin. We're going to renew our mind. And we're going to put on the new self. Put on righteousness. So the question for us is, are we consistently practicing putting off sin? Are we doing that? Is that a practice that we've built into our lives of putting off sin and putting on righteousness? We need to think about that. Are we doing that? So the first thing is put off unfaithfulness or laziness. Right? We've talked about this a lot too. We bow before the master of unfaithfulness or laziness. Right? If you find yourself being unfaithful or lazy, then you have bowed before that master. Right? You have chosen to sin. We have chosen to do that. And I may have worked very hard in one area of my life, right? Many people do that. Right? There's some one area of my life that I worked really hard at, right? That I am faithful at. Other areas, maybe not. I'm to be putting off unfaithfulness or laziness. I have bowed before that master of laziness. Question for us, what masters are you bowing to? What masters are you bowing to? What sin have you allowed to creep into your life that you are bowing to? What area of unfaithfulness have you allowed in your life that you are bowing to? If you find yourself being unfaithful in the things that God has called you to do, we must turn from that other master. Confess the sin to God, agreeing that we have sinned, and repent or turn from that sin. Question for us. Are you asking God to search your heart and reveal areas in which you have yielded to another master? Are we doing that? Are we asking God to search our heart? What is in my heart that is not pleasing to me? Show that to me. Are we doing that consistently? Hopefully, yes. The second thing we need to do is ensure we're walking in the Spirit. Right? This is a consistent theme in our studies, right? We bow before another master. We have turned from that. We repented it. We're now bowing before the Lord. And in that bowing before Him, we will be filled with the Spirit and we'll have the power to live a God-glorifying life. Right? Those passages that talk about being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, laid out there in your notes. Be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled with the Spirit. What are we being controlled with? It needs to be the Spirit as a believer in Christ. Let the words of Christ richly dwell within you, synonymous with being filled with the Spirit. Look at the results of being filled with the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. If I'm not being faithful, I need to turn from that. But where I get the strength to be faithful is in my relationship with Christ, the filling of the Spirit. Are we consistently walking in the Spirit? Are we consistently doing that? The third thing is renew your mind with the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. God's Word is a tool that God's Spirit uses to produce God-honoring change in God's child. I mean, look at these passages. Hebrews 4, look at, we've talked about this a lot, the powerful Word of God. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. The self-help book you pick up to help yourself be hardworking or not lazy or faithful doesn't do that, right? The time management program that you pick up to help you be more productive does not do that. It is the Word of God that does that, that changes hearts. Romans 12, that we be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the Word of God. The Word of God is what does that. Question for us, are you spending time in God's Word? Is that a priority? We've already talked about that that's something that God desires for us, right? That is a responsibility we have. Am I being faithful to that responsibility? There's many places in the Word we could go that reminds our hearts impacted in regard to laziness and unfaithfulness. And I laid out many passages there for us in the notes. We're not going to look any of those up, but they're there for you as a resource. You know, when we think of a struggle we're having, and in this case, being lazy or unfaithful, you know, where do we go? Right? We could look at God's character of being faithful. Right? And we've talked about that here in this class, and we've laid out several passages there. We could look at what God says about laziness in the Proverbs. Right? Lots of Proverbs that talk about laziness. We can see what God says about diligence. Right? What some would say the opposite of laziness. And we'll look at that below as well. We could just continue in our normal study of God's Word, because every part of it changes us and impacts us. But we could look at these specific things if we're interested, if we're struggling with unfaithfulness and laziness. Number four, how about we pray for wisdom in applying God's Word in regard to laziness and unfaithfulness? How about we pray for God's wisdom? James 1 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What do we pray for most often? What do we pray for? What do you guys find yourself praying for? Is it the specific urgent needs of the moment? How about wisdom in applying God's Word to our lives? How about wisdom in making decisions with regard to these things that honor Him? Hopefully we're praying for those things. Praying for those things. And number five, put on faithfulness. Put on faithfulness. We've talked about this a lot, but we're freed from the power of sin over our lives. As believers in Christ, we are freed from the power of sin. Now, we can choose to be faithful. We can choose to not be unfaithful, not be lazy. We can make choices that honor God. As you go through the day, maybe you'd ask yourself these kinds of questions. This is what I might ask myself. You might ask yourself different questions. Does this use of time and energy honor God? Am I neglecting or procrastinating my responsibilities? Am I idle toward my responsibilities, not moving toward them? Am I useless in regard to my responsibilities? Am I lagging behind in diligence? Maybe we'd ask ourselves those questions. Are you making choices that honor God? That's the question. Are we making choices that honor God? Now let's talk a little bit, a second, about So when you go to bed at night, is everything you had to do that day done? No, right? Well, I have at least 5 sprinklers that I need to work on. At least, right? When I went to bed last night, they were not done. Okay, that's a responsibility I have. There's, you know what I mean? I mean, you guys got it, right? We have things when we go to bed at night that are not done. Right? If you get everything done that you have to do at the end of the day, then you don't have enough to do. Right? Last weekend, my family and I, we went camping. We chose to do something as a family. Guess what? Those 5 sprinklers weren't done at that time. Is that okay? Sure. I think so. I have responsibilities, right? I'm not neglecting the responsibilities. I just haven't got to the responsibility yet. Right? There's some responsibilities that I have that have a higher priority than other responsibilities. Right? I still have responsibilities. Right? Spending time with my family to grow my family is a higher responsibility than fixing the sprinklers. Now, when I get the $500 fine because I have water running down the street, I might change my priority level. But for now, that's kind of low on the list. We all have responsibilities. We have to fulfill those responsibilities. We're not necessarily neglecting responsibility. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, right? One of the examples we give in the back for our discussion time later, let's say our children are struggling with life, and they are disobedient and not walking what they profess. And there's conversations that need to be had. Okay. And we choose not to have those conversations. It could be anybody, right? We choose not to have those because those are tough conversations to have. I have a responsibility to have those conversations. And I choose not to have those conversations. I'm not even trying to put them off until a better time. I'm just not wanting to have them. I'm neglecting my responsibility. It's a responsibility. I'm neglecting. I'm being unfaithful to what God has called me to do. So we need to be careful when we do that prioritization, right? Because I could justify almost anything in my mind, right? It's easy for me to justify not fixing my 5 sprinklers, right? Because spending time fishing and camping is more important in my mind than fixing the sprinklers. Because, by the way, just so you know, I think I've said this before, but sprinkler repair is the bane of home ownership in California. I have agreement. Okay. Let's be careful what we justify. Now, there's some folks who, if you do an internet search and you talk about laziness, a lot of people will take the opposite of laziness as diligence. Okay? And so when they talk about put off, you put off laziness, you put on diligence. In my mind, I think the opposite of laziness is faithfulness. But that's my thinking. I think diligence fits as well, but I thought it'd be instructive for us to talk about what diligence is also. Okay? So, diligence, there's a phrase, the word in the New Testament for diligence means in a hurry or intense effort and motivation. And the noun form of it is translated hurry, diligence, earnestness, and effort. And I've laid out those passages there for you where that word is used. Context oftentimes determines word meaning. And so I laid those out for you there so that you can look at those as you go back over the notes. The verb form of diligence conveys the idea of hurrying or doing something with the implication of associated energy or intense effort and motivation. It speaks of intensity of purpose followed by intensity of effort toward the realization of that purpose. It means to be conscientious, zealous, and earnest in discharging a duty or obligation, or i.e. a responsibility. That's what diligence means. And it's translated many ways, the verb form, eager, diligent, make every effort. Paul uses this phrase a lot, right, when he's talking to, in the pastoral epistles, to Timothy and Titus, make every effort to come to me. Right? That's the idea. Make every effort. Be diligent. This word's used with respect to physical movement. And many folks will think that when we're talking about being diligent, it has a spiritual emphasis. We need to be diligent with our spiritual duties, spiritual responsibility, if there's such a phrase, right? But you look at the usage here, and it's used with respect to physical movement and an attitude of exertion, execution of a duty or spiritual gift, service to the Lord, repentance, the exercise of godly character, love and concern for other believers, the pursuit of sanctification, the demonstration of faith, the desire to make contact with those separated by distance, i.e. in a relationship, eagerness to remember those suffering, unity in the body, the study of God's word, and ministry to others. The word is used in all spheres of life, right? The word to be diligent. Yes?
So if we have a non-believer that's diligent and a non-believer that's faithful, like a biblical definition?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think diligence, I think as we'll see here, diligence describes the character of a believer. So in that sense, God empowered by the Spirit, working out of diligence, no, we wouldn't see that, right, obviously. So we see it impacts every area of our life, this idea of diligence. So in your life, do you see diligence? Do you see diligence? A zealous, earnest discharging of a duty or obligation. And I can't answer that for us, right? You have to answer that. So, and these aren't necessarily rhetorical questions, but they're questions that we should ask ourselves. If not, what would have to change so that diligence is present? What would have to change in your life? So a believer's highest goal is to glorify God. As we walk through this life, the choices we make demonstrate our faith. When we get to the end, hopefully we want to say like Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. I have been faithful. God has called me to do things, certain things, and I have been faithful. Does anybody want to get to the end and say, well, no, I haven't been faithful. Hopefully that's not us, right? Hopefully today, forget about the end, right? Could be many years for some of us. Could be tomorrow, right? Could be today if the Lord comes back today, if the rapture happens today. Today, am I faithful? Today, am I faithful? We want God to say, well done, good and faithful slave. Is that what he's saying today for us? Well done, good and faithful servant. Are we faithful today? Are we faithful today? I thought we'd spend a few minutes, a little longer than usual today, talking about the real life scenarios. And I think a couple weeks ago we did a thing where groups got together and talked about them, and then we kind of went over them afterwards. I thought we'd do that today too. So let's do that.